Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how lenders can kill closing time frames on your I want to buy it quick SFR deal. Lenders,
hey.
Not all lenders are evil. We're not here to bash lenders. We bashed real estate agents a couple shows ago.
Wonder what the fastest. I'm really curious. I'd love
but
to take a
lenders.
Poll. Like, I'd love, you know, I should do this on Facebook. I'm going to make do a little Facebook poll and just see what's the fastest closing that people have done with a lender. And I bet it's like shockingly slow.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a old school lender, like a big bank.
Yeah.
I bet it's 30 days.
I'm like, yeah.
Maybe
and they probably feel good about it. Yeah.
And I bet that, with the private lenders, it's still 10 days. You still have to look at some stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what we're here to talk about.
Totally. Love it.
It's gotten a lot better, man. It used to take 6 months to buy a house.
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm not that old. You know, I'm old enough to remember. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, yeah. Remember the whole short sale thing back when that was,
I mean, in the 90s.
Deal.
In the 80s and 90s, it took.
Well, you know, I do remember my parents bought a house in Laguna Hills in the 80s, late 80s, and that took forever. You know, I remember it. It was buying it from a bank,
yeah.
And it was a whole long thing. And
the bank's got to send a person out there.
Man, it was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Good
but
stuff.
But that's past now. Thank you.
Good.
It's a good,
that's
this is a
us.
Great time in history,
right?
To be a real estate investor.
Exactly.
We have so much data that's available. Most of it's free. And we just have to realize how to use it. Yet, I see many, many, many people just kicking it old school.
Can I ask you a political question? And if you think this is a bad one, you want to just skip it, we can. But because our current president has a real estate background, are we in for some good changes?
No.
Oh. Well,
I never mind. I mean, I do not care one way about,
man.
You know, left or right or any of that. But the person that we have in office is
easier.
He's a contractor. Let's just call it. That's what this whole build a wall thing is, and do the company. this whole country infrastructure thing is all about improve. You know, he's a contractor in his soul.
All right.
Two guys before him, they're oil people, and guess where all the wars are in the world right now? Still left over from that, from digging oil. So
what kind of person do we want?
I don't care how impartial you think you are about stuff. I just think you bring certain things to what you do.
Well, I like where you're going with this. So do we want an educator someday next? Would that be the great thing, just to help all our, bring college? I personally think that wouldn't be a bad thing. It just came to me.
An educator?
Yeah. What if our next president was an educator, like a professor, and said, we need to change the way we pay our teachers, professors, all the good stuff. We need to make colleges cheaper and more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to come up with some good alternatives, like some great programs and trade schools and things for people to help educate more people who don't want or need the whole four-year thing. I like that. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
That's what I want.
Really, the bigger question is, what's a proper or correct or appropriate background for a politician? And I've always said, forget about right or left. It's number one, somebody who brings people together.
All right.
You know, like a salesperson. I'm not saying a salesperson is a good background.
I'm not running.
So somebody who's used to like solving problems between people, two people, like a salesperson. I also think that being a career politician is a really bad idea.
Oh,
I think the more business background and solving problems in the real world.
Running a business, owning a business.
Yeah.
I think that's very
helpful. I'm not advocating the guy that's in office right now. He's taken that to a level. There's a saying in business that you should never hire a CEO, a former CEO, if you want to get anything done. Because all they do is delegate. They don't know how to do anything themselves.
Oh. What does that say about you, Jack?
I have that saying.
you're,
that's how I know the saying's true.
You're a walking example. Thank you, Jack.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Oh, boy. All right. So this is so cool. Joe S., welcome to our community. Jack was just sharing with me and some of our staff how vocal you are in our online community and that you are bringing some really good quality questions
and articulate
to the table.
And participatory.
Yep.
Thank you, Joe S.
We are glad you are here. Okay, so here's Joe's question. As a new land investor, here are some thoughts that I struggle with. And it's kind of a checklist. I'm just going to read them all off. Defining my acquisition criteria. Selecting a county given my acquisition criteria. Pricing a mailer for a county. Selecting the correct number of properties to mail using RealQuest. Understanding price differences between subdivisions within a county. Comparing received offers. Buying property from dead people, researching title, where to market the property, sites, and target buyers, building a buyer's list, selling on terms, making purchases easy, planning for taxes. Hope this helps. Looking forward to the videos.
You about covered it, Joe.
Yep.
If all the questions were answered, I want to give you like a one or two sentence answer on a lot of these, if not all of them, you know, then we wouldn't have anything left to talk about. Mm-hmm. We just talk about fun stuff like Jill wants to talk about all the time.
I know. I have a funny thing to say about this.
Fluffy
when you're
bunnies
done.
Fluffy stuff.
So
go ahead.
Here's what I was going to say. Like for the first one, I could go down this list and go chapter two, chapter one, chapter one, chapter four, I think. Okay, now that's chapter five, chapter five, chapter seven.
You're right.
Chapter,
oh my gosh. You're right, Jill.
9 or 10, and then chapter, 13 on that last one. You know, so the good. So this is who we are, by the way. And Joe, this is so good. So people, if you're listening to us and you don't know why we're here, other than to kill time and not work. So just kidding. This whole podcast stemmed from our Land Academy and a way to reach more people and share what we do and share our business model. And Land Academy is the thing that Jack and I put together, gosh, going on 3 years ago, sharing our whole business model start to finish of what we've been doing for so many years. So this person in our online community found us, is now in our community and our program and everything. So all these things, if you're thinking about doing this and you have questions of these things, this is what we share.
Land Academy is a direct result of us not wanting to answer questions like this anymore.
Well, 80 times we kept doing it.
And it's not that they're bad questions. It's just like after a while, it's like, you know what? Let's just put a video together that explains it all so we don't have to answer the questions anymore.
Well, it got to be something we didn't want to.
It's these like are there great
was,
questions.
We were too many of us and we were, you know, just not enough of us to go around. I was like, I want to help more people. I'm only helping one at a time. And it was really because it was our buyers who were buying from us. People were buying from us, marking them up, and then selling them. They're like, okay, wait a minute. They finally figured it out going, wait a minute. You're my well. So I keep coming back to you to buy more property, to mark it up and sell it. I'm a wholesaler too, you know, kind of thing. And so they're going, so what the heck are you guys doing? And that's how it all started. We're like, all right, we started helping a few people here and there because there's enough property to go around. We've all covered that 1,000 times. And so we put together this program, which who knew we'd be here and put this, and we spent it was 6-8 months by the time we wrote and filmed and produced and launched Land Academy and put it out there. And then Jack and I just sat back going, all right, maybe 5 people. We'll see who was really interested. Holy cow.
Yeah, geez.
A lot of people. And
I'm
they're
still surprised
getting
about
it.
That.
So that's what's going on. And so, and now we're doing it with houses. That's the exciting thing. Now we've got 3 years in of Land Academy and we have, you know, going on 3 years of successful members, people doing it, we can prove that we built it, we taught it, we helped other people build their own businesses, they're doing it, and they're even branching out and helping other people too, by the way. Let's be honest. Our members are helping other people, you know, and it's awesome. So now we're doing it with houses.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So, I mean, Joe's first question here is defining my acquisition criteria. My answer is, you want to buy real estate for half of what it's worth. Oh, well, great, Jack. That's fantastic.
All right. Well, when those people call.
You're sitting in a class, like in school, and teachers are up there and they say stuff like that.
Right.
You want to buy assets that are less than what they're worth.
You want to always get 100.
Really? Thanks.
Really?
That's so helpful.
Thanks.
You mean I want to buy it for less, not more.
Yeah. You want to work out your taxes, so this is the outcome. Really? Duh.
So given my disgust for that type of answer.
Duh.
are these programs and this education that Jill and I kick out, really, it addresses it way further than that. Like, yes, we really do want to buy cheap real estate. And this is exactly how you do it, like down to the letter.
Here's what you do.
So yeah, your acquisition criteria is cheap property. Selecting a county, we go into
right
that in great detail for rural vacant.
I want to give all the duh answers.
Pricing a mailer, that is the single most discussed topic. And it's one that I continue, even at this level. I mean, we sent millions and tens of millions of letters out. Every single time I send a mailer out, I price it slightly different because I'm always learning something new. That's not a black and white topic.
Exactly. And for anyone that was just listening and you hit a little bump there, and you, because I went, what? It was disgust, as in D-I-S-C-U-S-S-E-D, not in D-I-G, disgust. Sometimes when you spend a lot of time like Jack does pricing a mailer, it can be disgusting. This is true. But you have to do that and do it right. So I'm just having fun with
pricing
you, Jack.
Pricing is an art form.
That's the art. That's the key right there, isn't it, Jack? Let's pause for a second. Isn't that the biggest part?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And there's no, everybody's different. And even the real high level members that we have now, after a few years doing this, they price their mailers way different than I do.
Right.
And they've taken a kind of creative license and it works for them.
Yep.
That's why we have a group, so you can ask those guys how they do it too. Mm-hmm. That's what landinvestors.com
exactly.
is all about. That's what this question's for everybody in the community. Selecting the correct number of properties to mail using RealQuest for rural vacant land, it's 1,500 for us, and for houses, it's 2,500 per mailer. That's great, Jack. Why would you pick those numbers?
I love it when you do that. Oh, I want to do the next one.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. I'm going to do the next. That's great, Jack.
We're going to run out of time if I answer Minty.
I know. Why are we doing this?
Understanding pricing differences between subdivisions. Exactly. That's not something that the market sets that.
Chapter
you need to take that into consideration when you're pricing. Mm-hmm. Comparing received offers. Pretty self-explanatory, in my opinion. Buying property from dead. Oh, by the way, if you get an offer back that's signed and received,
and the person's dead, I might check that out. I might not believe that signature.
Here's the beauty. Here's the beauty in how we do this. If you get a signed offer back, you know it's priced right.
Right.
You just need to check to see if you can actually get to it and some other things. So it's not like you have to do a lot of work after it comes back. The mail doesn't work for you.
Thank you.
Buying property from dead people is a whole PhD level concept that Jill's an expert in by now. Same thing with researching title. Where to buy market property? I don't know what that means. What sites?
And target buyers.
Probably Land Watch and stuff.
Yeah.
Building a buyer's list. That's a marketing concept on the internet that goes way beyond this venue. Selling on terms. Again, PhD level stuff. We address it all. Making purchases easy. That's my middle name.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And planning for taxes, that's mm-hmm. something you should actually not even do yourself at all. You should just get a good accountant.
True.
Speaking as a former accountant, don't do your own taxes.
Yep.
So yeah, we blew through those just like regular school. But we do have all the answers. It's just not, we can't do it in a half hour here.
No, it's good.
Today's topic, lenders kill closing timeframes. What the heck? Is he talking about now? Lenders close kill timeframes. What I mean is this. We send mail out exclusively to people who own assets that are mortgage-free. Well, Jack, why wouldn't you send it out to somebody?
You make me laugh.
Who's
every
got
time
an
you
asset? This guy only, you know, I don't know, $10,000-$20,000 on a $2 million house and a $200,000 house. $10,000 is fine.
Yeah, big deal.
It doesn't affect how they make the decision. It, you know what it affects? And that's what this show. This is the meat of the show here. It affects the fact that now there's another person and another institution involved in closing this deal.
Right.
Our whole premise is to buy an asset from somebody. We're the buyer. Buy an asset from somebody, from the seller. It's just two people staring at each other and saying, I want to buy it for $1,000. Oh, good. I want to sell it for $1,000. Can you do the paperwork? Sure. Mm-hmm. And then the deal gets done.
Exactly.
Not, hey, Dad, lender, hey, Dad, do you mind if I do this deal?
Right.
And that's what lenders do. And that's just the nature of how it is. They have to do that. I'm not dogging lenders at all here.
Right.
That's for a different time. But, you know, we're adults. We don't want to have to go ask our parents if we can do this deal.
Right.
And that's really, when there's a lender involved, even for $100, if there's two payments left on a mortgage, it's still the same process if to get it closed out in a real estate deal as if it was a brand new mortgage.
You know, and most lenders, whether it's $10,000 or $100,000, it's the same checklist. They're not going to go, oh, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to require these documents because we're down at the end of the loan. We don't really care, whatever. Oh, no, you get to go through the whole dumb checklist because they don't know how to do it any other way.
It's not their fault.
No, that's true.
They're in the business of loaning money and they're trying to protect their investment and the whole thing.
Well, I think
I prefer to just not deal with it.
It's just like, I feel bad, but it's like, it's so old school. I think of like some escrow agents. I mean, some of these things are so old school. It's like, it's frustrating to me.
I know.
The times that, I don't see it so much with banks. I do with escrow, but there's times that I've had, well, although I've seen it with commercial brokers, but some people have been in this business a little too long that they are still afraid of this whole nice thing that we have called the internet. And they don't know how to pull things up for themselves. I'm like, really? Am I really screenshotting this and sending it to you because you don't know how to look at it yourself? But, you know, anyway, so this is lenders. It seems old school, and a lot of it is. It's really weird, but it's not going to change anytime fast, by the way. They do have a lot of extra steps, unnecessary requirements, I think, and crazy conditions, and there's no way around them. So like Jack said, that's why we just choose not to deal with them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just what works for us. We tend to pull a low-hanging fruit out of the real estate environment.
There's a lot of people out there that own their homes outright that don't have
55%.
Thank you. People don't. You know, it's so funny. I talk to people all the time. They go, oh, really? Is it that many? And I said, tell me about your parents. Well, they own their house. And this, oh, they own their house. I'm like, duh. Hello. I just asked you and you said, yeah, five people. And they go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
When you think about it like that.
Here's the thing the net effect that it was an unintended consequence when we first started doing this. The way people make decisions when there's no lender and how confident they are and how they behave is really different than people who just have have 5 years, they've paid off paying down their mortgage and they're just 5 years into it.
Mm-hmm.
They really have the sense of power and sense of, you mean I am going to get $250,000 check at the end of the week? I mean, it's a whole different situation versus, and yeah, you don't have to go check with Dad.
Exactly.
So they will make a decision. That's been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a member, his name's Justin, who loves that middle market that we avoid. That market where a mortgage was originated in, let's say, 2005 or earlier. Mm-hmm. And so he loves buying $250,000 houses or $150,000 houses with $10,000 or $20,000 mortgages on them. For some reason, that just works for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great.
Is there, I'm sure this is a thing. What's a, it's maybe a topic for another time. I wonder what the percentage ratio is where as long as the lender's loan is covered, I'm assuming they don't really care.
They don't care at all.
Thank you.
They have nothing to say. They just want their money back.
Got it.
They don't care about the purchase
price. As long as you're
selling
it for more than the $20,000 that you owe me, have at it.
They don't even look at that.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So at what point do they ever get involved in the purchase price?
Never.
Okay.
Unless it's a short sale.
Unless it's upside down,
yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. So So I'm trying to think of other questions that I have and our people might have about lenders. So they kill the time frames. They have a lot of conditions. Slow. I mean, talk to me about the timing. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the fastest you think you could do it if there's a loan involved?
Well, there's so many. There's three different basic times of loans. There's a commercial loan, like from a, let's say, Bank of America or a real large bank, or even like a credit union. There's a private money loan, which is, you know, my rich Uncle Skelton gave me $150,000 and I agreed, we wrote it on a napkin and I'm going to pay him $150 a month until it's paid off with 1% interest. Private loan. And then there's hard money loans, which are usually backed by private men, like rich, bunch of rich Uncle Skeltons, but it's charged. this group of private investors are charging the hard money lender, let's say 10% a year to use their money. Mm-hmm. But the hard money lender is marking that way up. They're charging, you know, 10% a deal and for 90 days. So they're very motivated to place that money at really high rates. So to do that, it's a natural way the economy works, or the way the supply and demand works, free market. To do that, they have to offer some crazy stuff. Like, they don't look at you, they look at the asset. They don't look at you at all. They say, and you want to talk about pricing, like you just said? Uh-huh. Does the lender ever look at, that's all they look at.
Okay.
That's what a hard money lender looks at.
Okay.
They're theoretically supposed to be experts or very good at pricing an asset to be able to loan that. So, I mean, we're getting a little bit off topic here. But in general, for the purposes of this, for what we do, almost everyone has a commercial loan, mm-hmm. like a Bank of America type loan.
Right.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss real estate agents' egos.
It's just like real estate.
We're going to lighten it up a
agent
little.
Week. I feel a little bad. Like, shoot, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail here. And we answer your questions. Should you have one, post it on our online community found at jackjill.com. Go there. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Totally, seriously. So when you were coming up with these topics for this week, what crawled up somewhere and just gave you a hard time? I don't know how to say that.
For a while, we were talking about, we were really taking a lot of creative license. And so I'm getting a lot of mail from people saying, you know, could you cover this? Could you cover this? Could you cover this? Turns out people listen to this show for real estate investment advice, which is actually what this show is all about.
Kind of true.
It's not about Jack and Jill talking about their
hair color.
Sort of marriage.
Exactly. I love it. All right. This is funny. It's Real Estate Agent Week, unfortunately.
I have to get started.
Or fortunately.
Everybody wins.
There we go. Well, duh, Jack. No, just kidding. I like doing that. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.